Sunday night, and it kind of freaks me out every time, you know, like, it's like, oh, why are they clapping? Like, oh, yeah, they do that. It's like, yeah, I guess it's whatever you become used to, you know what I mean? Like, I remember how foreign the bell was when I first came here. Like, I was just like, that's weird, man. Like, why would... Right, exactly. Yeah, it's like, do we not own clocks or what? But it's like, what you get used to is what you get used to, you know? And like, okay, don't think anything of it now. All right. Happy Father's Day. I didn't forget here in Lima. I was telling you guys earlier, I forgot in Wauseon. You know, so happy Father's Day. There you go. There you go. There you go. It's supposed to be in the announcements. We're docking your pay. So Wednesday night, last Zoom meeting for the foreseeable future. So thankful for that. I encourage you to tune in. Nolan Toole is going to be joining us from Billings, Montana. I really appreciate Nolan and his family, and would encourage you to check that out. So hope you enjoyed Mr. Ferguson with us on Wednesday. I know that I really did. If anybody wants those, I do have them recorded. So if you want to go back, the question and answer session with Mr. Wilson, or the video with Mike Ferguson, I've got both of those. I don't typically record those, but I do have those to record, and I plan on recording Nolan. So if you want any of those, just let me know. All right. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're actually going to be finishing this up today, Lord willing, guys. So we're going to be finishing up 1 Thessalonians here. The instinct for self-preservation is great. The instinct for self-preservation is great. I think that many of us can attest to this instinct for self-preservation. You experience it, you know, when your wife asks you one of those trick questions, you experience that instinct for self-preservation to try and answer that correctly, right? You know, there's the instinct for self-preservation is strong. It's kind of interesting too. You know, one of the things that we do for thrills is that we, in a very managed, expected way, we push those bounds of self-preservation. You take something like roller coasters, right? Why is a roller coaster thrilling? Well, yeah, it goes fast. It's wonderful, Mel. I love them. It's fast and the way it makes you feel. But one of the things about the rush there is, you know, a little bit of losing your grip on self-preservation. I mean, you're going to enjoy a roller coaster a whole lot more if you just let go and enjoy it, man. I mean, if you're scared the whole time, like, it's going to be terrifying and petrifying. Well, you let go and enjoy it. Hey, here we go. Here we go. But it's interesting because if your life is the equivalent to a roller coaster, nobody is signing up for that. Because, like, you do not want to be on the... Like, with the roller coaster, I know a couple things. Like, I don't ride fair rides. I will not ride fair rides because I do not trust, I don't know, there's probably a political thing that, you probably can't say carnies, can you? Can you say carnies? Okay, so you never know these days, man, you never know. So, like, I don't trust that he knows what he's doing. And, like, the last time that he took that apart and put it back together, and, like, I'm not going to do that. But I will, a place like Cedar Point, like, they're not taking them down. They're not putting them back together, right? There's thousands of people that have gone before me, and Lord willing, there'll be thousands of people that go after me. Like, I'm okay with that, right? But if, you know, if the engineer wasn't quite sure, if there was a question mark, like, I'm not on board for that. That's not okay. My instinct for self-preservation has to do with the fact that I know that there's a beginning to this roller coaster and there's an end to this roller coaster. And, you know, everything goes right, I'll start at the beginning and end at the end. And so if your life is like that, it's not going to go well for very long. And so the Lord knows that he's made us for to desire self-preservation. But one of the things that's interesting within that instinct for self-preservation that God has put within us is that ultimately, unless we give up our lives here in the flesh, we cannot be preserved. We cannot be preserved. And so God wants us to lose our lives to actually gain life in him. And the world, you see, the world, this instinct for self-preservation manifests itself in a lot of different ways, right? I mean, if you want to make some money, invest in a product in the health and beauty category, right? Health and beauty. Oh, well, what do we all want health, right? I mean, and not even cretins like me want to be ugly. I mean, some of us are stuck with it one way or the other, but you don't really want, it's not what you would choose, right? So health and beauty, okay? So one of the things that's interesting there is that as the world seeks for their preservation, that preservation, that seeking after that preservation doesn't end in more life. And the only way to truly find more life is by seeking after God's preservation method. Let's go to, we should be in 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to start in verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So I want to talk about the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus could not be stopped by death. And so since death cannot contain, death could not stop Jesus, Jesus now has the power of an indestructible life. He is not only overcoming of death, but he continues to live on. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead demonstrates this. You know, I got asked a pretty good question recently. They were like, you know, I understand that Jesus had to die, and I even understand that Jesus had to offer his own blood in glory. Okay, I get that, but why the resurrection from the dead exactly? Like, no, why the isn't that kind of? And they weren't really comfortable with this term, but they're like, isn't that kind of, you know, showy? You know, like you got I'm alive now. Well, you know, it was a good question. It was an honest question. But you know what? Without Jesus' recognizable physical resurrection from the dead, how do we know he overcomes death? There's absolutely no way to know. He made the claim, oh, yeah, he's conquered death. Well, where's the proof? Just believe us. This is what happened on the other side of the cloud. See, there's no reason to believe anything that God says happens on the other side of the cloud if you don't have a recognizable resurrection. The recognizable resurrection has to precede Jesus' ascension into glory. But because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, that is his physical raising from the dead, we know that Jesus has indeed overcome death, and he is the firstborn to be resurrected from the dead permanently. See, because then after his 40 days here on the earth, he does ascend and he lives on. And so what that guarantees for us is that there will be a future resurrection from the dead for all of us who are in Jesus Christ. And so the resurrection was absolutely key because he's the first born from the dead. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. See, there's certainly a sense in which, let's talk about this for just a second. You know, may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete. Spirit, soul, and body. We are made up of three different parts. And those three different parts are spirit, soul, and body. And if we talk about, you know, the body, that's pretty self-explanatory, right? Okay, we all got a body. Your body, believe it or not, is a neutral casing. Okay, it's not inherently good. It's not inherently bad. It's a neutral casing for your soul and your spirit. And that's your body. Now, our soul is the part of us that sees, hears, smells, thinks. That's our soul. Now, because we're made in the image of God, and our soul is what is doing those mechanisms, then our soul is, of course, intricately connected to our spirit. Because if our spirit is the deep inner part of us, what makes us us, who we really are, if that's our spirit, of course that's going to be connected to the part of us that, you know, say thinks, feels, you know, you can't disconnect that because we are made in God's image. And so while they are distinct parts, they are they're connected together and intertwined with one another. It's the spirit of man that makes man a being in God's image. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And you take a look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Man is made in the image of God in that he is a spirit being. And so we take those things and we understand that we're made up of these three different parts. So for instance, like, you know, your dog at home does have a soul, but that soul is not connected to anything. And so since there's nothing to connect it there, there's no spirit, then there's no self-consciousness going on, anything like that. None of those things are taking place. But does your dog see? Well, yeah, he wouldn't yap so loud when the stupid mailman comes if he didn't see, right? But there's nothing connected to that. Whereas with us, our soul sees, hears, feels, thinks, and it's connected to the spirit. To our spirit. Okay, so if we take a look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God who intercedes for us. One of the things that I want to point out here is it says, he who died, yes, rather. So where's that putting the emphasis on? It's putting it on his resurrection. And what does it say about his resurrection? The very next phrase is, who is at the right hand of God? Notice that this raised is not just talking about Jesus emerging from the grave, but this raised is actually including Jesus' ascending all the way into heaven. Because it's he who is raised, who is at the right hand of God? He's raised to where? To glory. Okay, so it's kind of interesting because you can take a look at like Acts chapter 13 and a number of other scriptures that usually when the Bible is talking about Jesus' resurrection from the dead, it's inclusive of Jesus' ascension. So a lot of times we'll separate those things, but the Bible is, hey, Jesus is raised all the way to the throne. You can see that in Acts 13, Acts chapter 2, a number of other places. But Jesus' resurrection and ascension are a guarantee of our resurrection and ascension. Number one, the fact that something really happened. Something really important happened in the waters of immersion, right? There was a death, there was a burial, there was a resurrection, and we are now with Christ Jesus seated in the heavenly places. If Jesus doesn't have his death, burial, and resurrection, we don't have a death, burial, and resurrection. Simple stuff, right? But his raising from the dead, never to die again, making him the firstborn from the dead, is also the guarantee that when the Lord Jesus comes back, we are going to receive a resurrection body, never to die again. That we are going to follow in his footsteps in that way as well. So while we have been saved, soul and spirit, in the waters of immersion, last time I checked, this body is still decaying. It's still fading away. It's still deteriorating. What's the scripture say? Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. See, the preservation of this outside, good luck. I mean, I guess there's a couple of, you can get dark real quick, but at the age of 25, Okay, your cells, as I understand it, your cells basically they die faster than they get replaced starting at the age of 25. Basically, you know, I see a few people under 25, but most of us, yep, okay. You know, hey, we're dying, just at a different pace. Just, you're dying. And there's nothing that any of us can do about it. There's nothing that any of us can do about it. And so if we're actually interested in real spiritual preservation, that's only going to come through Jesus Christ. And so, and that's what God really wants from us, is to preserve us, not only spirit and soul, but ultimately body. And we talked about that in 1 Thessalonians 4 towards the end, and the day of the Lord that's coming like a thief. I mean, the theme, you know, 1 Thessalonians talks a lot about the coming of the Lord, and 2 Thessalonians is going to as well. But it is really important that if we want real preservation, we're going to have to give up our life. We are going to have to we're going to have to fall upon the rock so that the rock doesn't fall upon us. Because it's not those... Well, let me be careful about how I say this. Nobody is making it to heaven who has not been immersed under the new covenant, who has not been immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and received their gift of the Holy Spirit. Nobody under the new covenant is making it into heaven without that prerequisite. However, okay, not everybody who's immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit makes it into heaven. Scripture's really clear. It's to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. So that's step number one. But for each one of us, it's about overcoming to the end. And so God has this system set up in such a way that he makes us co-laborers in his salvation effort. Because of this, we stay in the material realm after our immersion. See, he makes us committed to the cause through making us a part of it. You're not really... Okay, what was it? Andy could probably give me an update, but I was on the Zoom call the other night, right? It's been 3,300 and... Do you know how many? Not off the top of his head. 3,300 and something days since the team that I cheer for, the University of Michigan, has beat the Ohio State University. Okay? Yeah, the. You guys didn't even laugh at that. I thought Ruben might laugh at that. it's just what it is, right? Okay, so it's been 3,300 and whatever days since the University of Michigan has beat Ohio State. Now, I don't like that fact. That's not a fact that I enjoy. I'm not happy about it. I don't love it, okay? But do you know how bad that hurts me? Not really that bad. And the reason why it doesn't hurt me that bad, I mean, I don't like it, believe me. The reason why it doesn't hurt me that bad is because I'm not that invested. I didn't even go to school there. You know, like, I have 3 hours, 3.5 hours on a Saturday that I, you know, I do watch most of the games. I don't, yeah, it's right. You know, we didn't even win the war so I could live in the state, you know? So I'm not that invested. You know, I haven't gone to two-a-days and been like, yeah, I'm not coaching. I'm not very invested. And so while, yeah, well, it stinks that we lost, and it's really been stinky lately, okay, it is what it is. You know, wake up every day thinking about, you know, oh, what day is it? Now, let's think about it. You know, somebody like Jim Harbaugh, that should really bother, right? This should really bother Jim Harbaugh because Jim Harbaugh is really invested in the success of the University of Michigan football. It should really bother big-time donors to the University of Michigan. That should really bother them, the fact that it's been 3,300 and however many days since the University of Michigan has beaten the Ohio State University in the game of football. My point here is that the amount of care that you have is directly related to your investment. The amount that you of care that you have for something is directly related to the investment that you are putting in that something. And so because of this, God makes us invested in his salvation and reclamation effort. This verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is encouraging us to look towards when we will be completely redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. Overcome today, be invested today so that our bodily salvation is secure. And that is a salvation where we receive our resurrection bodies without reference to sin. Hebrews 9:28. Excuse me. Well, let's pick it up in 27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who are eagerly await him. This salvation that he's coming back for, this doesn't have anything to do with sin, right? Without reference to sin. He's coming back for those who have overcome, to those who eagerly await him for the salvation of our bodies. And we spent some time in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 talking about God's definition of salvation, God's definition of redemption, that sort of thing, that God has progressively elevated this idea of salvation. First, the salvation from a physical enemy with Israel and the nation of Egypt, you know, Israel from the Philistines, not quite the Philippines, there's some geographical problems there. The Philistines, a number of different things that God has provided salvation starts with a physical deliverance. But then what he's doing is he's elevating it so that we understand that one of God's major purposes was to bring about our salvation from sin. And then he wants us to elevate it once more, that he's ultimately going to bring us salvation from this decaying body. And so he's using that term to help understand that he's bringing about our redemption from these things. Salvation is going to come without reference to sin at the day of judgment for those who are faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2, since the time got away from me earlier, I'm like, okay, it's 3:45, we're all right. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you're about to suffer, Revelation 2:10. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Be faithful unto death, and he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Are you interested in preservation of the body, soul, and spirit? We're going to be interested in being faithful until death. Well, how on an individual level is that really going to get accomplished? Well, it's going to be accomplished through being of the things of the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. You know, Jesus came to preach the kingdom. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Seeing opportunities instead of obstacles. In our own individual lives, I think that one of the things that's really clear is that we serve a big enough God, that God is able to pull the strings, if you will, to understand everything that's going on in a global scale, and everything that's going on a global scale, on a national scale, on a state scale, on a local scale, having to do with your employment, having to do with your family, all of those sort of things. God is able to bring about an individual discipline process that he's able to take you through while making sure that all of those other things take place. I mean, how big is our God, one, and how amazing is that he's willing to do that for us, and how much must he love and care about us, that he's willing to take us through a discipline process like that that's individualized and suited to get us to where we need to be to actually overcome and to get that resurrection body. That's exciting. It really is really exciting, and it's not something to be approached casually, you know. The statement, I really like it, you know, casualness causes casualties. This is something that we should take very, very seriously. And What opportunities are we seeing? If we're looking for reasons why the time isn't right, it can't be accomplished now, there's going to be a better time for me to invest more in the kingdom later, there's always going to be one of those things. There's always going to be obstacles. Are we seeing opportunities or obstacles? You know, I'll be frank with you guys as far as like some of this coronavirus stuff that took place. You know, one of the things that was good for me is like, so the Friday night fellowship that we do in Wauseon, it's had to have been on Zoom recently. And let me tell you that of the things that have suffered, Friday night fellowship has probably suffered the most because there's just stuff that doesn't translate, man. We've been creative with the games and the kids have been showing up and things have been good, don't get me wrong. But the amount of translation for, you know, really good study time and really fun activities and, you know, we're going from operating at a high 8 to like a low 5. You know, it's just kind of, it's hard. It's hard to translate. But something that I had never thought about that now I think I'm going to start doing is why not have the lessons online all the time? You know, come together in person for the people that can be there. Do the activities, do the things. Why not have the lesson online so that there's people who are there and who are enjoying it? And, you know, people who have started to tune in from different places, different congregations, that sort of thing. Hey, they can tune in and be a part of the lesson time too. It's not going to take that much different on my part. Maybe a little bit more discipline as far as, okay, we are going to go from 9 to 9:45 with the lesson time. But that is something that there was no obstacle, so I didn't need to look for an opportunity. Things are rolling pretty easy. You know, things are going good. We're accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish with the things that we need to accomplish. Great. Well, now there's an obstacle. What are we going to do? Friday night fellowship and, you know, try to get kids to distance, right? Good luck. All right. Exactly. The adults can't even distance. So there are opportunities. And so what are we seeing? Isn't the truth the fact that the Roman government was a whole lot more tyrannical, individual freedom was a whole lot less, and paganism was certainly similar to what we experience today in the first century? You don't see the church using that as an example in the first century, do you? Okay, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, faithful is he who calls you and he will bring it to pass. You know what? We oftentimes need this reminder. The same Lord who raised from the dead is the same one who is faithful as he calls us. Faithful is he who calls you and he will bring it to pass. We need to know that our God is in control. Our Father is always faithful. And so when the world tries to tell us all the different and various and sundry lies that the world tries to tell us, you know what? Faithful is he who calls you and he will bring it to pass. Doing what we're doing for the sake of Jesus Christ, and he is faithful in his calling. He is faithful and he will bring it to pass. And so what are the outside circumstances? Might there be some hurdles there? Maybe. But there's opportunities that go along with those hurdles. And so understand that our God is faithful and he's still in control. Brethren, pray for us. You know, healing and growth really are done in community. James chapter 5, verse 16, we've gone over that recently. Let's go ahead and go there just real quick here. I know we've talked about it, but James 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You know, this is not so much a legalistic dictation, but rather it is a relational opportunity. You know, confess your sins to one another. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. you know, God brings about healing within the community of Christ. And that's why he's set up the Lord's body that way, for us to be able to heal and to grow. Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, and the watchman keeps awake, in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, what good's the labor? The Lord wants us working together with him. But if we're not with him, what's it matter? What's it matter? And so let's seek the Lord's will in all these things and seek his blessing and make sure that we're working together with the Lord, because we can put all of our effort in. And if we're not working together with the Lord, all of our effort amounts to less than nothing. If we're working together with our Lord, every little bit makes a difference. Every little bit changes eternities. But if we're not working together with the Lord, doesn't matter. Appreciating the brethren. You know, see, there is supposed to be an appreciation for the children of the king that we have for one another, that there's supposed to be a warmness and a friendliness and a greeting there that goes, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss. Certainly, culturally, we would probably say, you know, handshake or whatever else. But, you know, sometimes there's pandemics and we don't even do that, right? I mean, whatever it looks like, you know, handshake, you know, holy kiss, a hug, you know, there's just different things that what's really being communicated here is to greet one another with the warmth and the sincerity of the body of Jesus Christ. Have this letter read by all. You know, there's a good chance that this was Paul's first epistle. And what he's doing is he is setting up the structure so that all of the letters get read by all of the churches. We saw that in Colossae and Laodicea, that they shared letters together. So if this is Paul's first epistle, then he one of the things that he's setting the stage for is like, hey, have this letter read by everyone. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. I want to finish with these two points in particular. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We're saved by grace, you know, saved by grace through faith. It's only through God's grace that any one of us can be saved. But ultimately, that's the only grace that is available to the non-Christian. There's no grace for the non-Christian to have access to. And so grace then is specifically for the child of the king, those who are a part of his family. And we're introduced to grace, you know, when we're raised or when we're immersed into Jesus Christ and we're raised up with him, we are then introduced to grace. And that grace is something for each one of us to be incredibly grateful, incredibly thankful for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ really has to do with all of the good things that we have in Christ. And certainly that includes space for us to grow. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is not limited to just grace as a space to work on one thing at a time. It is that. You know, we might come into Jesus Christ with 500 bad habits. And grace is the space to be able to work on one of them and to understand that the 499 aren't counting against us. Praise be to God for that. Now, he expects us to be working on the one. But thanks be to God for that. But grace really is all of the good things that are together and that are associated with being in Jesus Christ. It certainly is unmerited favor, but it's all that good stuff. Every good thing and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing and every blessing comes from above. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ really has to do with his system, with his new covenant system, and to understand that we're a part of that grace, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're in him, that we get to have a part of that. Praise God. Praise God that he opens and closes books with things like, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be with all of us this week, what is it that can stop us? What is it that we don't have to be thankful for? Well, let's go forth and let's conquer this week so that we can make sure that our body, soul, and spirit are preserved complete at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.